I need to order this first. What do you say?
That's you, right?
What?
Should just knock on the
window. Yeah. Yeah.
Ready. Thank you for the cheer. That was awesome. Is this the Dalai Lama?
Close.
Is that your salvation or anything?
Everyone's been very into quoting the Dalai Lama lately, and it's just like, it says Hazal, so I don't know. Yeah, just like.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. We'll go quickly, not quickly, like, you know, unnecessarily quickly, but we'll go at the pace that we're going in the shir till the end, and then we'll. I would like to do that Rav Kook together. Maybe Rafi could lead the Rav Kook discussion. We could read it in English. It's very, very strong. That piece is very, very special. Okay. Okay, this is the continuation of whatever we were just doing. So I skipped one thing before I rushed to the end that wasn't supposed to be the end. And that was a chiddush that I had around the time of my wedding. Going back to this whole wild idea that a person can give birth to Torah by having spiritual children through his Torah, by giving up his hair for his Torah, and that the Torah is connected to all the different parts of a person's body, and that if a person really knew which aspect of the Torah they were connected to, then in theory they would be connecting to that part of their body that they have to be moser nefesh for Torah, which is a wild thing, and different levels, obviously, for different levels of tzaddikim. We're talking here. I think people get very nervous about the whole thing. Like, the Rechaim couldn't have children, so I mean, I'm not going to have children if I'm Moser Nefesh of Torah. I keep them bald. I don't want to go bald. Okay. So there's one other thing that I discovered, I think is...
I'm just not going to darshan on the crown.
Is emistic. I think is emistic. So, Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ana Ishtari Mishafri Yerushalayim. What a beautiful Gemara. Everyone knows that Rabbi Yochanan was very beautiful. He was so beautiful that he looked like a woman. They say he was as beautiful as a woman. You know, there's like those men who have like, you know, there's something a little feminine about them. They're like very beautiful. No, there's like handsome men and there are beautiful men. No, am I saying something weird? Ishtari Mishafri Yerushalayim. He said, I'm left over from the beautiful people of Yerushalayim. Haiman deboy mechse shufra, the Rav Yochanan. A person wants to see the beauty, how beautiful Rav Yochanan was. Naisi kasa de kaspa, mi beisalki, venemaili partside de romna, sumka venahadele kalila, devarda sumka lapume, venesuva bein shamsha, letola. A person wants to see how beautiful Rav Yochanan was. He should take a silver cup, kasa de kaspa, from a salki, even a partida de Ramona, some sort of Roman smith, you know, silversmith guy, and right after it was immediately just cleaned, and he should put it ben sham shalatola. He should put it like in the sun, in like a very sunny spot. Ha hu zarure, the shine that comes out of that silver cup, me'ein shufer der biyochanan, the shine that comes out of that cup, of a silver cup in the beautiful, you know, of pure silver in the sun. That shine that comes out is a little bit of the beauty of Rav Yochanan, how shining he was. Amar Mar, Ini. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'ha'amar Mar, doesn't it say Shufrayi de Rav Kahana me'ein Shufrayi de Rav Yabo? Shufrayi de Rav Yabo me'ein Shufrayi de Yaakov Avinu. Shufrayi de Yaakov Avinu me'ein Shufrayi de Adam Rishon. Doesn't it say that the Shufraya, that the beauty, the shine of Rav Kahana was Me'ein, was 1/60th of the beauty of Rabbi Avo, and Rabbi Avo was 1/60th of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu was 1/60th of Adam Rishon? What's the problem? Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan lo kachashiv lei. Why isn't Rabbi Yochanan in that list? Rabbi Yochanan was so beautiful. So the Gemara says, Shani Rabbi Yochanan the hadras panim lo havalei. So Rabbi Yochanan was different because he didn't have a beard. That's why he wasn't put on the list. The beard of a man is called his hadar. Right? Hadras zakenim. Rashi says. And if someone wants to say good. Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a beard, just like that. Rabbi Akiva was bald, just like that? No. Benassi didn't get married, just like that? No. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan have a beard? So I want to say the following thing, which I think is emistic, and I'm very, very happy about. Tzorech Yin. Source number 19. Tzorech Yin. Ki yadua de chazal inu medavr mal stam mikra. Ukadomi Rav, Mesech Zavodazar, dafilu sikh schul, and shatam richam, and sikh talmud. This is a discussion, how beautiful Rabbi Yochanan was. Talmud Chachamim, even their simple talk needs to be analyzed. Kal v'chomer, something that's written in the Gemara. The kol shekein divrei Talmud atzmam, even the words of their Torah itself, certainly needs to be analyzed and understood. V'im kein anach t'nsichum nesh'ol, l'mo ha'il Rabbi Yochanan yachol l'gad l'azikna. Why was Rabbi Yochanan able to grow a beard? So b'siyat ha'shmai efshar l'omra al pi yadua midivrei ha'ramam ha'kdama l'chiburo yad ha'chazaka. I think you can explain based on what the Rambam writes in Akdamas Tiyar Chazak, it's also found in the Ravid. Rav Yochanan haya masadir shat Talmud Yerushalmi. Rav Yochanan was the one who edited and organized the Talmud Yerushalmi. Ravina and Ravashi did the Bavli, Rav Yochanan did the Yerushalmi. Ubekam komos b'Tanach mechun b'Yerushalayim shem Hadra. In many places in Tanakh, Yerushalayim is called Hadra, the beauty of the world. Like the Radak explains in Yishayahu Sha'aretz Yisrael, Bechlal and Yerushalayim Befrat Nikar b'Shem Hadra. And also the Ramban writes in his Joshua's Rosh Hashanah, Hadar ha'olam Eretz Yisrael, v'hadar Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. The beauty of the world, the splendor of the world is Eretz Yisrael, and the splendor of Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim. V'nir li b'siyat d'shmaya, shekashem sheben azev Rabbi Akiba hechlifu kochom shel leida v'shel gidol sa'aros b'tumuras kochos l'chadish chidu shei Torah, just like Rabbi Akiva and and Ben Azai switched their ability to give birth and to grow hair, respectively, in order to be m'chadish Torah. Kach Rabbi Yochanan hichlif kocho legadel hadras panav, he lost the ability to grow his hadras panav, his beard, which is called hadras panav. Shu hazakin kedepirish Rashi, Shem, like Rashi explains over there in the Gemara, b'tumuras koch liyaseh a Talmud Yerushalmi, in order to give rise to the Talmud Yerushalmi. In other words, his beard fell out, or never grew, because he spent his whole life, or the goal of his life, was to give rise to the Talmud Yerushalmi. Hamchun b'shem Hadra, Yerushalayim, which is called Hadra. Hadra Zekenim for the Hadra of Yerushalayim. Zek Kavanas, and here's the whopper. And this is the Kavana of Rav Yochanan when he said, cross up in Zakai, it's not true. K'sha Omer Sha'ani Nishar Mehayofi Shar Yerushalayim. It's not Rav Yochanan ben Zakai, it's Rav Yochanan ben Nafcha. K'sha Omer Sha'ani Nishar Mehayofi Shar Yerushalayim. That's the pshat. What's the first line of the Gemara? Rav Yochanan said, I'm left over from the beauty of Yerushalayim. What's the pshat? Meaning, my beauty is just what's left over after I lost my true beauty because I gave up my beard. That's why I'm not listed on that list of people who are the most beautiful people in the world. Because I gave up my beard in order to be Miyase Yerushalayim. Okay, you could say it's Purim Torah, but I think it's pretty cool. You hear? You hear the teaching?
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool, right?
What sefer is this?
I wrote that for my wedding.
Kuntris Nachal Nova.
Kuntris Nachal Nova Mekor Chachma. Instead of giving out ventures, I put out a little thing, very little, smaller than even half of this, like maybe like this. It's a fun thing to do. That's how I learned how to type in Hebrew. That's and awesome. Speak Hebrew. With Pashtus. Okay. Okay, some other fun stuff. The Chidush HaRim and Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter also has in his Lakan Amarim that a person's Chelik in Torah, the Chidushim that a person comes up with, are connected to who they are. Tells a Maisa in source number 23 about the Kutzker was once Zilchat to hear a Darshan in Germany, in Ashkenaz, that he was asking the question, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was being shown all the different parts of the Mishkan, one of the things he was shown was a Matbeah Shel Ish. He didn't know how to make the Machzit HaShekel, so he was shown in fire how he's supposed to make the Machzit HaShekel. So the Darshan asked the question, I understand that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand how to make the Aron, he didn't know how to make the Menorah, he didn't know how to make the Mishkan as a whole, so those things he had to be shown in fire, as he was, the Medrash says. But what, he didn't know how to make a circle? Machzit HaShekel is just a circle piece of silver that weighs a certain amount. You don't have to see it in fire to understand that. So the Darshan said, what's the pshat? Why did Moshe have to see it in fire? Because he had to learn that a person has to give tzedakah with fire. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to learn, that you could use money, you could use physical things, and you can use tzedakah and give it passionately, and that's also a service of God. So the Katzker said, you know why he was zochet? This is the source I'm trying to tell you. So the Katzker said, you know why this darshan was zochet to that? He said, because in Germany they're very machbed on giving tzedakah. And since they're machbed on giving tzedakah with a certain, meaning there was a certain yekish way about that, and they would open the door, oh, please come in, have a drink. And this went to, I can't help your yeshiva. So they were very into tzedakah. That's why he was zochet to that drasha about tzedakah. Because the things that you're machadish are connected to, are connected to your neshama. A person is more noted towards tzedakah, so the chidushim is always, his Torah is going to be more noted towards dinei mamonos. Yeah.
Would Rebbe suggest for us to try and like come up with our own chidushim, not like have to share them, but just like,
yes,
just like when we're reading, like let's say Shneimik, or just like,
yes,
come up with chidushim?
Yes. Yes. Very, very important. Very important to come up with our own chidushim. And if you ever do come across one, if it just popped into your head, then it's a chiyuv to write it down. The Sefer Chassidim says the person comes up with a chiddush and doesn't write it down, it's like stealing. Hashem give you a chiddush to give to Am Yisrael and you didn't share it. You're a crook. But it's very important to come with chiddushim. First of all, it gives you such hana. Such a hana. It's like being tapping into like the closest thing to like having Hashem talk to you. Right? I mean, it's the same with any chiddush, really. And that's really part of what Rav Kook is talking about. He's not just talking about Torah, he's talking about all of Avodas Hashem. And he's talking about creative talents in music and poetry and art and anything. But creativity is the closest thing you can, aside from his Avodas, talking to Hashem. If you want Hashem to talk back to you, the closest thing you can do is Mahadish. I can't tell you how many times you think of an idea, you think of a Mahalach and something. It happens every time I give a shir, every time I write a song, every time I paint a painting. When you look back at it after, you say, how did that happen? Where did that come from? It doesn't make any sense. How did my hand draw that painting? How did you know, this niggin come, where did it come from?
So does Rabbi have books and books of
Chidush? No, I don't have books and books of Chidush. No. But a person...
Just book.
What? What is that?
Just book.
Book?
Book of Chidush.
I don't have a full. You collect your whole life, you know.
Every note you take on any,
exactly.
It's
your own interpretation of it, but and yes, for sure. But when a person, you know, feels like that, as I was saying before,
what about
when a person feels like, wow, I totally got this in a totally new way, and it also feels like it's not only a totally new way for me, but this is like a new way of understanding it. It's like a new way of looking at the world, or this particular aspect of the world. That's like the closest, as I was saying before, that's like the closest thing you can have to like Hashem talking to you. The closest. Nothing closer.
No one likes to hear like a kid say chedushim.
So you don't have to say them.
Just write them down.
Yeah. First of all, it depends how good they are. I like to hear people's chedushim.
No one in yeshiva likes.
Okay, right. So sometimes you have to pretend like you're not here. But also, in Michlev Melio, he quotes from his Rebbe that one time his Rebbe got up, Rav Simcha Zissel, he got up and he gave a shir, and he said, you should know that I've been wanting to give this shir for over 20 years, but I wanted to let it sit for a while first. So Yesh Davar Kaze, that person has chidushim that they share right away. Some chidushim you have to sit for a while, and certainly when a person is young, so there's not really necessarily, you're right, maybe it's inappropriate for them to share a chidushim. And I can tell you this much, there are a lot of chidushim that I had from when I was younger that I look at now and I say, those are cute and a little bit silly, but also deep and also, you know, helpful in terms of, you revise it a little bit and you can make it something stronger, and I'm sure in
also very
20
raw.
Years... What?
Also very raw.
Yeah. And you look back 20 years from now and I'll say, oh, when I was 28, how old am I? When I was 29... What was I thinking? That was such a silly beer of the Gemara that we did today. So what a silly way of thinking about it. I hope. If not, then what did I, you know, what were we doing? Okay, a little bit more. This is also from Rav Kook, that's why I put it in. Rav Kook said, Shimon Apakuli Hister Shimona Esther Brachos Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel Ala Seder B'Yavne 24. Shimon HaPakuli put together the Shimon Esrei in front of Rabbi Gamliel in Yavne. Gamliel said to the Beis Medrash, "Klumi ish adam sheyodeh l'takin brachas tzedukim." Is there anyone who knows how to write the bracha of the brachas haminim, brachas tzedukim, the malshinim? Amud Shmuel Katan v'tikna. So Shmuel Katan got up and he said, "I can do it." So what's so hard about the malshinim? Why is it so hard? Can anybody in the whole Beis Medrash do it? And Shmuel Katan says, "I can do it. I uniquely can do it."
Maybe because it's more of like a harsh paragraph than like.
No.
It takes writing it from a place of love, like even though it's a harsh paragraph, like you have to write it from a pure place.
Very good. So Rav Kook says in source number 27. This is from his sitter Olasriya. So Rav Kook writes, "Kol habrachos 27. Kol habrachos shel tefila, shehein maleos chesed v'ahava. They're filled with love and kindness. They're filled with requests for the most exalted things in the world, and for shefa and bounty and blessing to come down to the whole world, not just Am Yisrael, the whole world. Roy letaknim kol chacham haroy lemala romu makazos. Any chacham who has a poetic soul and who is connected to this prophetic spirit that we've been talking about for the night." So he could write that. It's not so hard to write those parts of the sitter. Aval bracha zu shel tefila, but shel tefila. But this bracha of the tefila of vel malshinim shel tocha orsim dvarim shel sinah mustama, things which are harsh and hateful, spiteful types of things. But adam basher hu adam, person's a person. Great line. But adam basher hu adam, iaf shar klal shelo timsa bekirbo eza sinah tivis. How could a person not? A person's a person. How could you not have a little bit of a drop of anger towards the, or animosity towards the people who are the natural enemies of who are chasing after your people and killing your people? Which is why they had to institute the whole bracha to begin with. Tzrichi lavo davka mimisha kulo tahor v'kadosh l'Hashem shetchunos hasina hativis ein b'libo klal. Has to come from a person who's totally freed from any sense of sinna at all towards other people. So who's that person? Shmuel HaKatan. How do you know Shmuel HaKatan is freed from any sin at all? So take a look back in verse number 25. Shmuel HaKatan's statement in Pirkei Avos. Shmuel HaKatan Omer ben foli vecha al tismach u'bikashalo al yigel libecha pen yir Hashem v'ra be'enav v'heishiv me'alav apo. Shmuel HaKatan says, do not rejoice in the downfall of your enemy and in his difficulties. Do not be exuberant. Do not let your heart be exuberant, lest Yira Hashem will see this, v'rabe inav, and it will be bad in his eyes, v'heishiv me'alav apo, and he will return his wrath from upon your enemy, and he'll bring it on you. So Shmuel HaKatan was the one, says Rav Kook, whose soul, he was able to mechadish his tefillah, not just in Torah, but in tefillah also, you see. A person's chidushim are connected to his soul. Shmuel HaKatan was the one who was very connected to this idea of do not rejoice in the downfall of your enemy. And therefore he was, says Rav Kook, he was uniquely suited to be able to write this tefillah, which had to be completely free of any animosity towards anybody. But there's a deeper kasha. Because look at that Mishnah and tell me what the question is. Give you a hint. Question is at the very end.
Can we read over time?
No. What's the very end of the Mishnah? The source.
Shall I return the wrath?
The very end. That's the end, or at the very end.
It's from Mishle?
Mishle. No, what's the question?
It's from Pirkei Avos?
Yeah, what is going on over here? As Levi just said, it's from Mishlei, it's from Pirkei Avos. Wait, what's going on? Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Shmuel HaKatan used to say, a pasuk in Mishlei? Shmuel HaKatan didn't say that. Shlomo Melech said that. He didn't say anything original here. There's nothing here. It's just a pasuk. Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Shmuel HaKatan did not say this. Shlomo Melech said it. And Shmuel HaKatan is just repeating it. And Shmuel HaKatan is just repeating it. So the Bartanur already says a little bit this idea. The Bartanur says, Ben Foli Vechal Tismach. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Shmuel HaKatan was like accustomed to saying this pasuk so much that it already, like, you know, people say, oh, Shmuel HaKatan, that's Shmuel HaKatan's idea. even though not really, you know? Like, every Rebbe has, you know, if I had to say, what's, you know, Rav Yehuda Michel Omer? Yisrael Asher B'cha Aspire, right? But that's not his statement, that's the Navi's statement. And it's not even his statement, it's Rav Kluger's statement. So the truth is, when a person says something enough times, it becomes your statement. That's what the Bartender says, but it's really deeper than that. The deeper than that is that Shmuel Katan's neshama, his soul, is connected to that so deeply. Shmuel Katan, when he said it, it was said in like a totally different way. When Shmuel Katan said it, it was coming from the recesses of his soul. You see why, where Rav Kook said in the beginning that a person has a netiya towards a certain style of learning, a certain aspect of learning, a certain area of learning, he has to follow it through, because if not, there's going to be something missing from the world when he doesn't follow through. The way that Shmuel HaKatan taught, Ben Folei Vechal Tismach, was different than anybody else. And that's why he was dafka, uniquely suited to write the Velam Al Shina.
Okay. Yeah, how's that pasuk fit in with that pasuk also until Ahave Hashem Sinura?
So, already as the great Bruria pointed out, Rabbi Meir's wife, that there were some people who were messing with Rabbi Meir, like Rabbi Brachel says, there were some people who were messing with Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir wanted them dead. So he was davening that they should die. What does it say? Od ma'at ve'ein rasha. I think that's what he's davening. Maybe that's a different thing. He was davening that they should die. And Bruria said, why are you davening that they should die? Maybe the pshat in the pasuk is not a little bit more and there'll be no more evil people. These people are bothering him. Maybe the pshat is there'll be no more evil. So Ove Hashem Sinura means those who love Hashem hate evil, but they have no animosity towards the evil people. There's a big difference between hating the evil itself and hating the people who are doing the evil. That's the first sort of cook we learned, that a person has to be able to see good, and even the Haman and Sisera and Kal Chomer Yidden who are not doing the right thing. But Ove Hashem Sinura means hating the bad, not hating the Jew who's doing the bad. Big difference. Okay, well, just end with one idea, which is that this is something which is not just for Torah scholars, this is something which is natural to every single Jew. So Gemara says that, in source number 28, Amar lo Rebbe, Shachach v'lo hevi'in sakim erev Shabbos mahu. Rebbe asked the question, what should you do if you forgot to bring a knife with you? The 14th of Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and you forgot to bring a knife on Erev Shabbos, so that you'll have a knife in the Beis Hamikdash, you'll be able to do your Karban Pesach on the 14th. What's the din? What should you do? Amar lahen, so he said back to them, Halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. I believe it was Beis Hillel who was talking here. It was Hillel. I feel like it was Hillel. I'm not sure though. No, it doesn't make sense. Okay, well, Amar lahen. I forget who's talking here in the Gemara. But the Gemara is here saying, someone forgot their knife, what should they do? So he said, I forgot the halacha. Shachachti, elahanach lon Yisrael. But don't worry about it. Leave the Jewish people be. You don't have to tell them what to do. Im ein neviim heim, if they're not prophets, b'nei neviim heim. They're the children of prophets. So they'll figure it out on their own. You don't have to give them psak halacha. We don't remember what the halacha is. Leave it to the Jews, they'll figure it out on their own. Lemachar, the next day, mi shepascho taleh, chotvo b'tzamaro. Mi shepascho gidi, chovto b'in karnav. Someone who had a sheep, so what did he do? He put his knife in the wool of the sheep. He like wound it around the wool so that it obviously wouldn't hit the sheep's body, but it would be in the wool of the sheep so the sheep would carry itself. Someone who had a goat put the knife in between the two horns of the goat. Bin Kronav. Ra'a Maisa, the Nizkar Halacha. He saw, when the person who was asked, what's the Halacha, saw this procession of the Jewish people either putting their knives in the sheep's wool or on the sheep's horns. So he's Ra Maisa, he saw this procession. The Nizgar Halach, and you remember the Halach of Amar Kach Mikublani Mipi Shmai Vavtayan. Unbelievable. Now I remember this is exactly what Shmai and Vavtayan told me. It was the Halach in the first place that I forgot. This is the concept of B'nai, even if we're not Nevi'im, we're B'nai Nevi'im. That means that there's a certain intuitive nature that the Jewish people are connected to Torah. The whole time we're talking about a person's Chelik in Torah, a person's own Chelik in Torah, his own unique thing. A person has a automatic connection to like a antenna, which is a Jew is connected to the Torah in the deepest way. Now we don't use that whenever we want, but in the case when we don't know the halacha, Like we say, Minhag Yisrael Torah. The Jewish people naturally intuit what the Torah wants from them, what the Ratzon Hashem is. And when a person feels that he's being connected to a certain aspect of learning or what is Hashem or whatever, you have to go with that. You have to do it. You have to follow through. And that's what you see in this Gemara, but Rav Tzadok says an awesome thing based on that. You can interrupt Rav Tzadok? Yeah, go.
If this Gemara specifically goes out of its way to call the name Nevi'im, then why doesn't everyone have a connection to the Torah of Nevi'im?
We do. It's just switched off right now.
You're saying it's intuitive that we're all into Pnimiyus HaTorah.
I mean, Pnimiyus HaTorah is Torah's Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, it will be revealed that... Meaning, there's two things. If a person says there's no such thing as Pnimiyus HaTorah, and everything that we said here tonight is a joke, and Rabbi Kiva wasn't actually bald because of that, and he was just bald because he had bad genetics, then I don't want to talk to you, because you're a kofar. Because Pnimiyus HaTorah is real. That means you don't believe in anything. If you just believe that there's only the Pshat of the Torah, so then... that's very bad. If you say, I believe in it, but my soul doesn't speak to that aspect of Torah on the strongest level, so I definitely engage in it. I'm not going to say, I'm not a Sfas Emes guy, or it doesn't mean you have to study Sfas Emes. You could go through your whole life and never study a Sfas Emes, and you're a perfectly good person. That's not my point. My point is, for you to say, like, I don't really need to know that. The feeling should be, I need to know every single book in this entire room. That's impossible, so let me focus on what my soul is thirsty for. Because that's Hashem speaking to me and saying, this is what I need you to bring into the world.
What about
what was
people...
your question?
No, that was good.
That answers your question?
Yeah.
What was it?
Why isn't everyone connected?
Right. So not everyone is connected in that way, but everyone has to be mode to Pnimiyus HaTorah.
What about people who are like in the middle, like they're not kafir about it, but they're not into it, like they mode it, but like they call it like fluff. What?
Right.
So how do you deal with that?
I don't know. How do you deal with it? I'm not sure. Get it down really well and show them what it is. I don't know. I'm not sure. Not sure. I have a lot to say, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I only asked because there's three guys here, and I thought.
Yeah. Maybe I should talk about it a little bit.
I can pause the recording.
No, it's okay. Let's just read what's other. No, I don't have anything that can't be recorded. It's not the point. The point is, like. I'm not sad. But I'm saying, like. A person could turn around and say the exact same thing about the Rambam, and that would also be wrong. People who spend their whole lives trying to squeeze a Rambam, which is probably wrong, that the Rambam just made a mistake. But that's not how we learn Torah. We learn Torah, the Rambam is... we're a donkey compared to the Rambam. Of course the Rambam is right. And therefore we'll spend hours trying to be Yashar the Rambam, and that's the most lofty pursuit in the world. And those same people who will do that with a Rambam will look at somebody who's trying to figure out how, you know... why is the Gemara talking to me about the beauty of Rabbi Yochanan? You have two options. You could say the Gemara is wasting its time, or you could say that this is incredibly lofty. And even if you'll say, okay, so now we know why the Gemara told us that Rabbi Yochanan lost his beard, because he gave over his koach to go make the Yerushalmi. So now what am I supposed to do with that? So first of all, that's awesome. Just like the way that the hiddenness of the Torah and the depth of the Torah, and that's one level. There's infinite depth beyond that. And the fact that a person's willing to be moser nefesh for parts of his neshama and parts of his chiyas for Torah is, that's a chashuv thing, no? Being moser nefesh for Torah is a question of couching it in the terms that a person is comfortable with, and that's not a bad thing. And it's important that a person who you know is into chassidus, so don't talk to them about chassidus, talk to them about Pnimiyus HaTorah. And not in like some weird, like you're trying to be makar of them towards this. Not what it is. It's emes of Torah, it's part of Torah. It's part of Torah. I don't know. I feel like many of us are blessed to, some more than others, to be somewhere in the middle. Eventually you get there. If you're emistic about it, you will become obsessed with every single aspect of Torah. As much as I was knocking, I don't remember what Sfarim I said, like Menachos Chinuch I said another time, there's nothing more geschmack for me than to sit down and learn Menachos Chinuch. sometimes not in the mood, so I don't do it. But a person who's not open to everything is, what are you doing? You're being kofar on part of the Torah. Even if you're not being kofar and saying it doesn't mean anything, but you're rejecting a chilek of the Torah, and maybe someone else's chilek of the Torah, maybe part of your own chilek of the Torah. Very dangerous thing to do. A person who's emistic and says, this is my chilek, I'm going to follow my calling, this is the sweetness, what's calling me, I'm going to follow that. I really want to learn Hilchos Shabbos very deep. So I'm going to do Hilchos Shabbos strong. You're going to see such beauty in that you're going to say, well, there's such beauty in the Isser of charging interest. And you're going to want to learn that Sugi also. And the more you see beauty and the Tiferes that we're talking about, Tiferes Lomen Adon, the more you find Tiferes in what you're doing, the more you're going to be convinced that it's really everywhere. It's just a matter of what your soul wants at that moment, or what Hashem is revealing what your soul wants at that moment. I think it's Dvarim Pshutim. It's just that the world is crazy. So Tzedek says one last thing, and then we'll have so much other many other things to do. This is awesome. I could do this all night also.
Letter of Cook.
Yeah. So you read it in English. That's why I put it in English. I knew we wouldn't have time to do it. It's very beautiful. It's a decent translation.
The person necessarily have one, like, directed to one direction?
No, I'm very pulled in both directions. And there's no one direction. There's 500 directions. Meaning, it's not just a catchphrase. Like, there are people in this world whose souls are deeply connected to learning Chumash. Menachem Liebtag, for example. Of Menachem Liebtag. Yoel Ben Nun from Gush. People are deeply connected to learning Tanakh. Their souls, like, ooze Tanakh. That's awesome. That's amazing. Mine doesn't. I mean, I majored in it. I like it. But, you know, I can't spend, like, hours of my day going through Tanakh with Mefarshei Tanakh. It's awesome. And I get in moods where I get into, like, two-week spins where I just, like, you know. And you have to know Tanakh. But the question that Rav Kook was talking about in the beginning was, what do I spend the majority of my time on? And what am I really trying to be makir es makomi? How am I trying to be makir my place in the world? Meaning to make it known to, how, not in a fit for the pursuit of fame, but where am I making my mark on the world that, like, I'm the person who, you know, worked out this particular thing. You know, and maybe it's something very broad and maybe something very specific. You know, like Rav Neuwirth just passed away. Rav Neuwirth, right? He wrote the Shemir Shabbos Kelchasa. That was his, I mean, he probably knew everything about everything. But he was makir es makom. He made his place known in the world through the Shemir Shabbos. That was like his crown jewel. He's a person who was obsessed with knowing all the dinim of Shabbos and wrote a beautiful sefer. And every person has that. Every person has that. And for one person, it's going to be a particular area of study. For one person, it's going to be refuah, the dinim of refuah on Shabbos. For one person, it's going to be dinim of refuah in everything. There's this yid, Avram Abraham. This is in his farm. Avram, a great name. Avram Abraham was a student of Shlomo Zalman in some way or another. He's a doctor. I don't think he's officially a rabbi by trade. He is a rabbi, but he's not. I think he's a doctor. And he wrote these svarim called Nishmas Avram, which are like every medical shayla you could ever imagine. That's Makir es Makomo. He had a netiyah. He wanted to do that so badly. So even on some level, like this, these Shir Min Rav Kook is a aspect of being Makir es Makomi. I have this inclination all of a sudden this summer to give Shir Min Rav Kook. I don't always have that inclination. I love Rav Kook. You know, I learned Rav Kook by myself a lot. I didn't have an inclination to give Shirim on it ever until this summer. Prisons that trust their instincts when they're coming from a holy place doesn't mean you never doubt your instincts, especially if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you can trust your instincts more. Let's just finish Rav Tzedek. Dibur shel chol hamorgel b'fi adam u'margel b'pumya hu divrei Torah mamish afilu itzal ish ha'amoni m'Yisrael. Simple words that come from the mouth of a person, a Jew, are divrei Torah mamish, even when it comes from a simple ha'amoni m'Yisrael, a plain folk. U'kumosh nira harbe b'talmud maybe the amri inshi Where it says you find many places in the Gemara where they say a certain Gemara thing, a certain halacha, and it says kid amri inchi, as we find that the people say. What's the pshat that's it? Why are we quoting the town peddler has to say? So it says because the town peddler is a yid, that means that he's oozing with Torah. That means that he's being molded Torah. He's giving birth to Torah at every second. His natural inclination in Torah is something very deep and very real, and therefore what he says is actual Torah, and that's why we say kidam rinchi. And he says we find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin many cases like this. Hahu harbe hahu dehavika amar v'azel v'amar shmul kruksiv. You find like a page worth on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Take a look if you want in Sanhedrin, where it says there was a certain guy who used to say this, some like town dude who used to have this statement that he used to say. And then the Gemara says, "V'azel v'amr Shmuel kruksiv." And Shmuel was going around listening to what all these chaver were saying. These simple people, never had, didn't even know how to read. And he was saying, "Oh, that what he just said, that's a pasuk in Yishayo. That what he just said, that's a pasuk in Zephaniah. That what he just said, that's a pasuk in Yonah." And he was showing how everything that these people were saying were actually pesukim in the Torah and Neviim Ksuvim. That these ideas were found in the Torah. So it sounds like what type of crazy this was, like a game Shmuel used to play when he was bored. So Rav Tzadok says no. Ki kol nefesh miYisrael yesh lo achiz b'divrei Torah miyuchadus. Every single person's neshama has a certain aspect of Torah which is connected to kinoda. Ubedibur shem murgla b'puma zeu shorish nafsho. That's the shorish of a person's neshama. You hear of Cook screaming through these words. Ki adibur hu yisod hanefesh targum nefesh chaya ruach mal, because the dibur of a person is the yisod of his speech. It is the sword of his neshama. Because speaking is when Hashem blew a neshama into the human being, he began to speak. If a person finds his chelik in Torah, you could find your purpose in the world. What does it say in Pesachim? It says you hear from here, from what a simple person said, that this is the din. So you see that simple people even are connected to Torah at their shorash. The more a person connects to actual revealed Torah, the more a person is able to trust his intuition and not have to second guess his instincts. Soloveitchik also actually ironically, or not ironically, says the exact same thing as Rav Tzadok. He quotes that Gemara in Sanhedrin and has a whole beautiful essay about it called the profundity of folk wisdom. It's a beautiful essay that Soloveitchik wrote, and he says what Rav Tzadok says. He says actually a little bit more also, but I put the whole thing here. I just have a quote from it. What emerges is that Chazal had great respect for the intuitive metaphors of the common man who, though formerly uneducated, absorbs truisms from the Torah setting in which he lives. The observant, God-fearing Jew who never had opportunity or intellectual ability to study Torah often manages to grasp perceptions which are well grounded in the tradition. Why is that? It's because the neshama of a Jew is connected to his chelik in Torah, and he's able to actualize that Torah by learning it in a revealed way, but that doesn't take away the fact that his intuition is connected to the Olam HaTorah, and that's what Rav Kook was telling us. We should trust our intuition in the Olam HaTorah. If we're drawn towards a certain chelek, to a certain subject, we should embrace it. Okay. Everyone can read the Oros HaTorah Perek Tes Ozvav Amen. Shkayach. Shvinizkel Mashiach. Just doing something?